This podcast is looking for good deals on great food, but sometimes we need to grab a bite late at night. What are some of your favorite late night happy hours in the KC Metro? Text us at 816-601-4777. That's 816-601-4777. Standard texting rates apply.
From KCUR, this is Up to Date with Steve Kraske. I'm the show's intern, Lauren Texter. A new podcast from KCUR Studios and the Kansas News Service highlights the Kansans working on sustainable solutions to environmental crises. Up From Dust is hosted by Kansas News Service environmental reporter Celia Yopes-Jepson and KUER's David Kondos. Celia joins Steve today to talk about the 2 years she spent researching and reporting on the first episode.
Well, first off, I want to congratulate you on this podcast, 2 years in the making. As I said, you spent all this time writing and reporting the first episode. What were some of the challenges in getting this project up and running to begin with?
Oh, man.
So many.
First of all, thank you. It's surreal to finally have it out there because, like you said, we've been dreaming about this and working on this project for 2 years. I think that the challenges were that we knew we really wanted to tell stories from all over Kansas. That's important to us. The cities, the suburbs, you know, ranches, farms, etc. And we wanted these stories to inform a broader audience because, quite frankly, the things that are happening here in terms of how environmental issues are playing out are very much the same throughout much of the Midwest, much of the Great Plains. For some of the stories that we cover in this podcast, it's for the entire country. And honestly, for some of the, like today's episode, check it out. It's about why grasslands, why prairies are disappearing. It's actually a global story. And we have a front row seat, I guess you could say, to this very difficult problem right here in Kansas. So we wanted these stories that would inform a broader audience. And the other thing, Steve, is that I wanted to, obviously, environment, these are very heavy topics. These are difficult topics. And there's no getting around that. But what I wanted to do was create a podcast, see if we could draw people in instead of making our listeners want to shut down because it's hard to hear some of these things, and leave them feeling more connected to the landscapes around them, to how things are playing out, you know, right outside your own window, right? Like literally when you leave here today, the things that you can see right when you leave this building, such as invasive species, and feeling more equipped when you're done listening to these episodes to know what can be done, how people are actually tackling those issues. Part of that challenge was making sure in each episode we would find those people who are making progress so that listeners could know some of those solutions that are out there that are underway.
I think that's interesting because I think, Celia, a lot of times when people think about environmental problems, they tend to think of problems that are in distant places. And your point is it's right outside your window.
It's right outside your window. And also there are things that you can do. So, for example, when we talk about climate change, that can feel like, obviously, that is such a long-term process that even if I, you know, take actions to reduce my footprint, and that's a great thing to do, it can feel like I'm never going to see that progress myself, right, of what comes from taking those steps. But there are things that you and I can do that might give us, you know, some more immediate satisfaction and connect us to those environmental issues in our area. And I think that's really important to understand that this is so much more than just about climate change. Climate change is obviously happening. It's real. We have to address it. But when we forget that there are other issues that we can tackle, I think that it's easy not to it's almost easy to write them off. Like, I can give one example, wildfires.
Sure. Yeah.
If we just think, well, climate change is fueling the fact that wildfires are getting worse, then we forget that one of the main reasons wildfires are getting worse here in Kansas on the Great Plains is how we've changed the landscape, how we've changed the ecology. And there are things that we can do to help us have healthier landscapes ecology-wise and protect our homes and our ranches and our communities from wildfires.
You know, you've already published many digital pieces and spots about these various facets of the climate crisis. Why are you so committed to telling these stories now in a podcast format, Celia?
Well, I think that it does allow me to do some things that I haven't gotten to do quite so much in the past. So as you know, I write traditional newspaper articles. I write the morning edition features, and those things are vitally important to me. I think that's a really important way for a lot of people when they get up each morning to stay informed, right? But with the podcast, we're hoping that we can reach an audience that wants to hear a little bit of a different type of storytelling, a little more in depth. And it gives me a chance when I'm interviewing people to let them reveal more about themselves. Like, what motivates them? How do they get up each day and face something that is very difficult? Like, say, losing your prairie to juniper forests, which is something that's happening in parts of Kansas. And if you're a rancher, that's very difficult because you can risk losing your livelihood to trees and shrubs. So how do you get up each day and tackle the problem? Or if you're fighting invasive species, right, in Shawnee Mission Park, how do those folks get up each day and tackle this and keep going? And I think that a podcast gives you a chance to see more of a glimpse of what motivates these people. And that can help the rest of us maybe find some inspiration.
So I'm curious, where did the concept of this show come from, Celie? Because it's not all about climate change. You're breaking down all manner of environmental issues here and amplifying a variety of voices as well.
Oh, where did the concept come from?
Who do you want to blame for this? I guess is what I'm wondering.
Can I blame COVID?
Is that what it was?
Yeah, but in a way, I think so many things in our world now are connected to COVID in ways we don't realize. Mm-hmm. And one of those is, for me, this podcast, because it's been such a difficult time. And it was a time when I was thinking not just about the pandemic, but about a lot of, you know, overwhelming topics. And I think a little bit for my own sake, I had a need to start diving more into like the solutions. And I felt like what I could do as a journalist is tell more of those stories that would acknowledge that we are up against some incredibly difficult things, but that it's not that there aren't ideas out there and that there aren't people making incredible progress. Mm-hmm. So a little bit, somehow I think psychologically, it's all interconnected with what we've been facing for a few years.
And also, as a fellow journalist, I was wondering, how did you find a way to narrow your focus for each episode, given how much is happening throughout our ecosystem out there?
Oh, I mean, let's be honest, there's a little bit of arbitrariness, right? Because there are more important environmental stories than I can get to.
Mm-hmm.
And so some of it basically reflects what David Kondos, who is our former Western Kansas reporter, amazing journalist, mm-hmm. and myself have stumbled upon, have written about over the past few years, trying to tell those in a longer format and dig into some of the topics that I feel like are not being told in the depth that they deserve. And one of them is the collapse of the prairie biome.
Let's go to your first episode then, Celie, from the Up From Dust podcast that you've got a bone to pick with invasive species. In episode one, you spoke with staff out at Shawnee Mission Park that so many of our listeners are familiar with. They're working to remove a particular type of very popular, very prevalent tree. Let's listen to a clip from Up From Dust, and then I'll have you talk about it.
Okay. During a recent spring, I headed out to the burbs of Kansas City to hop on a UTV.
All right on top.
And check out some very special, very pretty scenery. But the thing about this was it was actually an environmental threat disguised as beautiful scenery.
Oh, yeah, they're really obvious and they're really big.
Yeah, people actually come out here and take Instagram shots.
Okay, so that's Matt Garrett, and he is the biologist and the natural resource manager for Johnson County Park and Recreation District. And this park, God, it has to be the most visited park in all of Kansas.
It's the most direct access to wild spaces that people have on this side of the Kansas City region.
And a big reason that people come here every April is specifically what I came to see, this road that is lined with dozens of 30 to 40 foot tall trees that were just like covered in white blooms. Very scenic.
And I'd assume about 35 years ago, someone decided that this would be a gorgeous, you know, blooming species to plant along the entry to the theater.
To be fair, like, they weren't wrong. Like, they're in full bloom right now and kind of, like,
creating this arch over the road. Right. It's really pretty.
Right, and it's pretty until you smell them.
And when you smell them, what happens?
Oh, they are not so pleasant.
Not so pleasant. Well, I'm sure our listeners have already guessed we're talking here about calorie pear trees. But Celia, there are dozens of invasive species that have taken root in Kansas. Yeah. What inspired you to go after this one in particular?
I think really just as a symbol, calorie pears, people tend to know them more under other names like Bradford pear or Chanticleer or, you know, Cleveland Select. But I picked this one because I think it's something that we can all recognize. Get on, you know, just get in your car, get on any highway in early April, or honestly, this year it was early March because of the warm weather. And you start seeing, wow, there are white flowers everywhere. Well, those are escaped from our gardens, and they are so rambunctious that they're squeezing out a lot of plants that are really important to the food web. But I wouldn't say that they're necessarily worse than a lot of other invasive species, but I do think that they are a good kind of way to get into a topic, which is that our choices matter, which plants we plant in our gardens, and also the fact that what can seem very kind of innocuous can have this adverse effect
right.
that we don't know about till later, right? These are beloved trees because they're fiery red in fall and all these beautiful white flowers in the spring. And we want to shape the world around us with just the aesthetics we like, et cetera. But sometimes that comes with a cost. And that's what we wanted to get across, is just have a symbol that people could recognize as to why we should care to get into this topic about invasive species.
You know, Kansas even has a quarantine of calorie pear trees that will
yes.
take effect in January of 2027 so that the trees can't be sold or planted within the state. Based on the episode, I'm guessing that you think this is a step in the right direction, but what do you think of the timetable here?
There are a lot of people that worked, you know, pushed really hard for a quarantine for years. And I would imagine that some of them are maybe frustrated that the ban won't take effect until 2027. But on the other hand, they're probably honestly, you know, just glad to see it moving in that direction at all. I suspect it's a bit of a morale booster for a lot of people to feel that policymakers are going to have their back. Because if you're out there trying to clean up your parks, your roadways, et cetera, of these trees, it's really difficult then to go into major hardware stores and see people walking out with more of them to plant in their yards.
Yeah. These things are a problem. Why?
Okay, so let's say you have a grassland area, a prairie area, and these trees are taking over. Search a Bradford pear for caterpillars, for example. You're not going to find any on it. Or if you do, it's like, hallelujah, there's one. Basically, they're not edible to the food web here. Leaves aren't edible to the animals, the moths, the butterflies that need to lay their eggs here. And then if you then carry that up the food chain, well, baby birds, like almost all songbirds, they only feed their babies insects. Like, they can't take seeds from your lovely bird feeder and feed that to the baby chicks. So if you want the next generation of chickadees and bluebirds, et cetera, they need loads and loads and loads and loads and loads of insects around. And when invasive species replace the plants that feed the insects, the effect carries throughout the food web. And that's why biologists actually get worried. It's not just some sort of like, we don't like this new plant. It's like actually worried about the food web effects. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. And the trouble here is, if you want to get rid of these things, you got to use machetes and chainsaws and tree poisoning, and you got to burn them. They're really hard to get rid of.
They are, the calorie or Bradford pears in particular. Like you said, you actually have to cut it down and then poison it because it's such a stubborn plant. So very difficult, yes. But, you know, the folks at Shawnee Mission Park, for example, feel strongly that it's worth it to regain those natural areas.
You spoke with teenagers who are volunteering to weed out invasive species. Let's listen to a clip of your conversation with Geraldo Zapata, a member of the Green Team with the Groundwork Northeast Revitalization Group. Let's listen to what he had to say.
So Geraldo says there's just one thing to do to build healthy habitats, fight climate change, tackle pollution, and that is get to work.
So it's as simple as that. If you're doing anything, any kind of change, any kind of work, that's good enough. It is so tiring, but once you honestly take a step back when you're done, it is the most like refreshing, relieving, and like just a feeling of achievement.
So if people want to help, how would you recommend that they get started? Because even Geraldo suggests even a small step can mean something.
Yeah, it can. I think that that's one of the things I wanted to get across with this podcast. When I was interviewing people, one thing I asked everyone was, how do you cope with kind of how difficult these topics are? You know, how do you continue to remove bush honeysuckle or do whatever it is you're working on when you know that you can't? It's just a drop in the bucket in a way, right? And I think what you heard there is that picking up a shovel and getting to work is where people get that energy, because they see maybe in one city park, they see the next season that it's full of monarch butterflies and it's full of bluebirds or whatever the case may be. And that energy of getting something done each day is what allows them to make the next step. And I think that that's really important to understand. There's some psychology there of how we can actually tackle these problems.
We'll be right back with more from Steve's conversation with Up From Dust host Celia Yopis Jepsen in just a minute.
Can we heal the environment? In Kansas, we're working on it. Up From Dust is a podcast about how humans reshaped the world to fit urban landscapes and agricultural needs. We'll meet the people who are rolling up their sleeves to find more sustainable ways forward. Listen to Up From Dust from KCUR, part of the NPR network.
Geraldo also told you that green doesn't necessarily mean healthy. You know, that's a little bit counterintuitive for a lot of us because we've got that message about the importance of trees and green space has sort of been ingrained in us. Tell me more about that.
Oh, gosh. Get in your car and drive around Kansas City right now.
Yeah.
Like, it feels really green, right?
Really healthy, yeah.
Really green. And you almost get this feeling when you're driving past, like, woodlands or hedgerows and things, that they're, like, bursting with plants, like, just overflowing. And they are. And what I mean is, you know, you see the oak trees and such at the top, and then you see these, like, 20-foot-tall bushes literally filling every inch of space from the ground to the tops of those oak trees and just busting out the sides of the woods. The woods are a wall of green. You can't actually see in them anymore. It's very green, yes, but that is an invasive species just filling every crack and crevice in our woods and drowning out the woodland wildflowers, making it hard for oak trees to reproduce, etc. So green can be deceptive. It can feel nice, but sometimes it isn't nice.
Yeah, how do you reach people with a series like this, a podcast series? Do you worry that you're having people listen who are already inclined to believe many of the things that you do? How do you reach people who are maybe not so attuned to all this?
I think, again, it has to do with we want to connect people to what's happening in their immediate landscapes. That could be on your ranch, on your farm, in your suburb. And I think that by doing that, hopefully we can engage more people because it's so immediately connected to their community. I think a lot of people, regardless of where they stand on many issues, they have a connection with the outside world for fishing or for hunting or for raising livestock or for going out and being an obsessive bird watcher like me. I like seeing my birds. And so I do think that people value their landscapes that they live in.
You know, one of your other interviews for this episode was with Amy Bozeman, an education specialist at the Kansas Department of Wildlife and Parks. You spoke with her about foraging for invasive plants, which it turns out can be pretty delicious. How can people get started with foraging, and how can that be helpful in pushing back against these invasive species?
Okay, so a little caveat here. It can be popular to talk about eating invasive species because it's fun. And sometimes I have seen the pushback of, well, this can't fix the problem. And yes, that's true. Like, we're not going to eat our way entirely out of, you know, out of this problem. But I don't think that that means it's not valuable. It is valuable for getting people outside, for getting them engaging again in those landscapes and understanding the changes happening around them. It can be a very valuable tool just for finding a way to have some satisfaction and some fun while we talk about difficult topics. And you can decide, hey, we're going to get some people together and we're going to go into our city park and we're going to make it a little bit better by removing eating garlic mustard or There's a great fish off every year at a lake near Wichita that is full of invasive white perch. And, you know, just everyone gets to bring the whole family, fish as many perch as you can, right. Have a blast. And that's a great way to get the community out and involved.
You and your co-host David Kondos promised that Up From Dusk would be a more hopeful climate change podcast, and you've delivered here. Let's listen to the last part of episode one.
At one point, I asked Amy how she feels about the fact that the woods have changed so much since she was a kid. And she gave me a really great answer.
You know, sometimes I have the sense of urgency and overwhelm about it. But I think that my personal life practice is that I don't have control over it. So I'm not going to let it control me.
I went through a period where I actually stopped hiking. It kind of ruined the experience for me. Instead of feeling like I was surrounded by green, I felt like I was surrounded by this change that was like undoing everything for the birds that I like to see and everything. And I wonder if you had that experience and like how you've kind of managed to kind of break through to the other side.
So I think that us as a human species, as our landscape changes, we have to learn to adapt. And if you avoid these spaces, you can't learn from them. You can't learn how to change and grow with them by avoiding them, right? I mean, we definitely need to continue advocating for eradicating as many of these invasive species as possible, definitely. I just think that if we have a bit of a perspective shift in how we approach it, then we can save ourselves a lot of emotional damage through anger and resentment.
You know, that's such a powerful moment, you know, you stopping hiking due to your stress over what's happening out there. Has working on this project helped you reconnect with what you love about nature, or are you still feeling a little overwhelmed here?
It has definitely helped me reconnect because I actually think of Amy's words sometimes when I'm out there that it doesn't help anything to just shut down. We have to recognize the reality, which is that we are part of an ecological system as human beings. And so we need to inform ourselves, understand what's happening, and continue to be in these spaces. Because if we withdraw from these spaces and just turn our backs on understanding what is happening with the food web and such, there are consequences for ourselves. So now, you know, I go out there and I keep hiking and I see, you know, spaces that are full of bush honeysuckle and not much else, or prairies that are in full-on collapse. But I also carry in my mind, you know, knowledge about the federal programs and the people that are trying to save these spaces, right, for future generations. And I think that helps.
Is that what you hope people get out of this podcast, that ultimately there's hope out there?
I do. But I want them to know that these are serious issues. I don't want to gloss over that and say, hey, someone's fixing it all, don't worry.
Right.
But I do think that it will help us not shut down. It will help us engage and listen and inform ourselves. If we don't just talk about how broken everything is, and we talk about what options there are and what's being done.
That was Steve Kraske in conversation with Celia Yopis Jepson. Up to Date is a production of KCUR, and this conversation was produced by me, Lauren Texter. Thank you for listening. We'll see you next time.
Hollywood writers are obsessed with the concept of an asteroid heading towards Earth and destroying civilization. But is this something we really should be worried about? I'm Kate the Chemist, and on my podcast, Seeking a Scientist, we meet the mastermind behind a real-life mission to divert the path of an asteroid. Subscribe to Seeking a Scientist, made possible by the Starris Institute.